Turn to the book of Psalms. Psalm 86, Psalm of David. I'm just going to read two verses out of this, so we're not going to stand and read them. I'll just read them for us. And look at verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Now look at verse 15. But thou, Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's pray. Father, you know the needs that we have this day. We pray, dear Lord, you'd bless every marriage here, and may they live in the first love. May they get the joy in what you've given them. Lord, we pray for this church. We pray that, Lord, we'd live in the first love. Lord, that we would put you first in everything that we do. We'd quit fooling around with the world and messing with your plans. Oh, forgive us, Lord. Amen. Forgive us for all of our sins, our laziness, our Amen. Selfishness, our covetousness, our stupidity, our unbelief.
Amen.
Have mercy upon us, Lord. I ask you to give me a freedom and ease to preach that only you can give. And I ask you to touch hearts and lives in this room. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen.
Interesting thought. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. You know, it's an amazing thing how God has been forgiven. He's forgiving all the time. Been doing it throughout the history. You know the reason why you really ought to study your Bible? I know you think, oh, well, I don't want to read it. It's tiresome and it's so boring and I don't read all the words and I don't like old English. You got a lot of excuses. You're too busy with all the important things of the world. You don't want to have to read the Bible. You know what this is a book? This is not a religious book. This is not a science book. It's not a history book. It's a book of God's dealings with mankind throughout history. And what do you find out here? You find out what God's like. You know what you need to know? You need to know God.
Amen.
I don't know whether you had a good daddy or mama or not. I did. I thank the Lord for them all the time. They were good, good people. And I knew they were good people. And I knew my limits. I knew what I could do and what I couldn't do. I knew what they would rebuke me for and what they would praise me for. I knew where they would help me and I knew where they'd stand against me. Well, that's what you need to know about God. And some of you think you know God, but you don't know Him well enough yet. And reading this Bible, what does it do? As I read what He did with Abraham, or what He did with David, or Jonah, or Peter, or Paul, I know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
He hadn't changed. He hadn't changed. He's got the same heart, the same mind. He's the same power. He's awesome.
Amen.
Our God is absolutely awesome.
Amen.
And yet this God, so big, so great. And what is our history? Well, what are you going to read the Bible? You're going to find a bunch of sin. A lot of it's just stubbornness.
Amen.
You ever thought how stupid you are?
Yes, amen.
Every once in a while, I just get a revelation of how stupid I am. And I think, wow, God, how does God have mercy on people like us? Then look around the world out there. Man, just look at the news. Now, I know good news is not news. It has to be bad news for it to be news. But I see a lot of bad news. I see little babies hurt. I see people stabbed. Somebody just robbing them for quarters and stuff like that. Or for their phone. And you houses burned and people burned and horrible, horrible things. That's what's on your TV. That's what you see. And then I come back and it says here, for thou, Lord, art ready to forgive.
Amen.
You know what your first attitude is? If somebody does something to you, it makes me mad when somebody steals stuff at church. Now see, we got a ministry that's not working right now. Because what we had to produce that ministry for shut-ins at home, for other people, for the missionaries and whatever, they can come in and sort of feel good when they're doing it. And some stupid person doesn't even think about it. They're robbing God. It makes me mad. Doesn't it make you mad?
Yes.
It upsets me. When I see some people treated in some ways, it burdens me. It makes me irritated. And at the moment, I don't know what I might do. I might do something really bad. Now, when you think about it for a while, as Brother Brian was saying, we don't want to shoot somebody because they break a window in a car.
Amen.
I mean, it's not worth a life. It might be an inconvenience, and it might be something you couldn't really afford right now, but, you know, the attitude I have about it, though, is I'm not really in love with that thief right now. Are you? No, it bothers me. I'm not in love with these people that are abusing children. You know, there's just some things that, boy, they get into my mind, and I get this, I don't know, it's testosterone flowing or something. I get mad and I want to take them out and beat them up. But what does it say about God? Ready to forgive.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Ready to forgive? It's an amazing thing. We have a God that is absolutely pure, righteous altogether. He doesn't ever do anything wrong. He's not even tempted to do anything wrong.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Now, I've thought about it many times in life. God could be whatever he wants to be.
Yeah.
What could you do about it?
Right. Yeah.
If you had a bad God, what could you do about it? Well, I searched back to a verse, one of those life verses you talk about, Genesis 18:25. And I have the same faith as Abraham. I said, that's what I'm going to believe. Now, if I look at all the war, all the pain, all the suffering, all the killing, all the disappointments in the world, I can think God's a bad God. Or I can look at some of the miracles and the blessings and whatever, say God's a good God. How do you make up your mind? Well, I'm like Abraham. Abraham said, when he's talking to God, he said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right?
Amen.
I am convinced God always does right, no matter whether he answers your prayer the way you want him to or not. He does right.
Yes.
What a wonderful God. What a wonderful God. And I think sometimes we live with a little vision, a little picture in our mind of what our God is like, and it's not really accurate. And why is it accurate? Because we haven't steeped ourselves in the Bible.
That's right.
You haven't learned what God has shown of himself in his dealings with all these different people down through history and his dealings with you. Wow. Can I look at God and think, you've been a bad God to me? No, I can't. I can't. He is a God that's good and ready to forgive.
Amen, amen, amen.
He's a God full of compassion. He's gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and in truth.
Amen.
Now look at the book of Nehemiah. If you go to the left in your Bible about several books. Look at Nehemiah. Chapter 9 and verse 16. But they and their fathers dealt proudly. Now here's the priest talking. And they and our fathers dealt proudly, hardened their necks, and hearkened not unto thy commandments, and refused to obey. Neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. Wow. How about a list? God still got the Jews as his people. They're still his people. They still have covenant relationship with God. But I tell you what, this chapter and these chapters are listing all of the sins that Israel had committed through all this period of time. Now I stopped right in the middle of the verse. But thou art a God ready to pardon. Not a God looking to judge. Not a God wanting to beat you into submission. A God ready to pardon.
Thank you, Lord.
What would you think of a murderer that comes before a judge in one of our courts today? And the judge decides, I'd like to pardon him. And this guy wouldn't take the pardon. What do you think about somebody that would refuse that? And know I'm going to go into prison, or I'm going to be executed, or whatever. It doesn't make sense, does it? Does it make sense that you would harden your heart, stiffen your neck,
all right,
rebel in your heart,
amen,
against the loving God? Oh, he's too hard. He's too picky. He's too whatever. Oh, it's dull. I don't really like to read the Bible. I really don't understand it. Well, you know, repetition is the answer to that. You read it enough, you'll understand it. You'll be amazed how much more understanding you get the fifth, sixth, or seventh, or eighth time that you read it than you had when you read it the first time. Thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Thou art a God ready to forgive. Thou art a God ready to pardon. Now, what are we getting? We're getting something of the character of God. Can he help you? Yeah, I can. If you've got enough sense to think about this God you're dealing with and come to him on what he has revealed about himself, he says he's a God ready to pardon. Wow. Now, I want to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And this is important. Why don't all of you turn into it if you can? God is ready to forgive. God is ready to pardon, but there's only one way he does it. He doesn't pardon you your way. He's not worried about your opinion.
Amen.
Has nothing to do with your will. God is ready to pardon, and he can pardon the most wicked sinner that has been for many, many years stiff-necked and stubborn in their heart, but there's only one way to get it done. And not two ways. You know, I've heard people say all roads lead to Rome, so all the religion of the world just leads to God. All that. It's not true. It's not true. Look what this says right here. Very interesting verse. Something that really you ought to think about. Just the last three words of verse 3, chapter 2, verse 3. God our Savior, who, so the antecedent of who is God our Savior, God our Savior will have all men to be saved. Wow. You ever heard somebody say that God doesn't want everybody saved? Well, the Bible says God will have all men to be saved. It's his desire that every single one of you would repent of your sins and get your soul saved. It's his will those bums on the street get saved. It's his will that all around the world people get saved. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now here's one great big piece of truth right here. Read it. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That's a whale of a statement. That is a piece of doctrine that is so solid, you have to consider it. You say, well, what about the people in China? What about the people in... has nothing to do with anything. You don't get saved unless you get forgiven by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Some people, I've even been asked to pray sometimes because they thought, well, you're a preacher, you've got a special contact with God. You come to Jesus Christ. Nobody gets pardoned for even a little white lie if it's not Jesus that does the pardoning.
Amen.
But I could also walk in the death row on any one of these jails and prisons in the country or around the world. I could have walked in, sat down in front of Adolf Hitler and give him a legitimate offer of salvation if he would repent of his sins and take Christ on his faith.
That's right.
That's something.
Yes.
That's something. Let me tell you something. You're sitting right here today. You're not saved. You've been playing church. You think you're a little bit religious, whatever, but God hasn't ever changed your life. You need to get saved. If you need to get saved, there's only one way to do it. You have to come through Christ.
Yes.
Now, some of you think that, well, you know, Jesus, he'd be tender to his mother. So let's ask the mother to pray for us. That's idolatry.
Amen.
In case you don't know it.
Sorry.
You don't understand it. It's blatant idolatry.
Amen.
Mary cannot forgive you of your sin.
That's right.
She never could.
That's right.
You've got to come through Jesus.
Amen.
One God. One Savior. One mediator. You know what a mediator is? To go to the queen. He's a lawyer, okay? He's a mediator. Many times in his last experience, he's gone between this group and this group and this group and this judge and whatever. He mediates. He goes in between. He works for it. Yes, we have a mediator. We have a mediator for our sin.
Amen.
We have a mediator for our stubbornness.
Amen.
We have a mediator for our stupidity.
Thank you, Jesus.
We have a mediator for our selfishness and our covetousness.
God.
Yes, we do. It's not Mary. By the way, any of you that think I'm getting a little mean on that, just look up the Queen of Heaven in your Bible.
Yeah.
You don't call her the Queen of Heaven. What an insult. The Queen of Heaven is an idolatrous thing in the Old Testament.
Yes.
She's not the Queen of Heaven. She was a virtuous, righteous, blessed young virgin that God brought Christ to the earth in. And she was his mother, and I know he loved her. But she can't get your sins forgiven.
Right.
You may think there's somebody in this room here that you know that's a real good Christian, and you think, well, they'll be good if they pray for me, you know. Let me tell you something. All of us just go to Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
You go to Jesus.
Amen.
One God, one mediator. That means Peter can't help you. Neither can Paul. There is no saint that can help you.
Amen.
No grandmother or grandfather can help you. There is one mediator between God and men, and that is Jesus Christ, no other.
Amen.
Is that clear?
Amen.
Wow. Now that is a doctrine that passes the whole Bible. Covers it all. Covers all of history. You want sins forgiven? Only one place to go.
Amen.
They're not two. They're not five. They're not ten. They're not your way and their way and somebody else's way or my way. No. What this Bible says right here, and that is a statement of truth so clear, don't get it confused. One mediator. Praise God, there is one. It's God in flesh.
Amen.
Wow.
was that in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost bodily.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
God is a God ready to forgive. God is a God ready to pardon. And you know how he does it?
He does it with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about all religions of the world. And all religion is not good.
I know some people that are sweeter than I am. And they think they want to be nice to you and they don't want to hurt your feelings. And they think everybody's religion is good. That's ridiculous. Everybody's religion will lead you to hell if you don't come to Christ. And reject your religion and reject your idolatry and reject your statues and reject your bad doctrine. Reject your stubbornness of heart and your stiff-necked. Some of you in this room right here, you may even be saved, but you're stiff-necked.
Yes, amen.
You don't want to bow. You do not want to bow.
Amen.
I'm an American. I was raised on John Wayne. Good night, man. Don't bow to nobody. Don't lower the American flag anytime, never. You better bow your knee to God.
Yes.
You better bow your knee to this one we're talking about here. There's only one way. There's just one way. You know what we need to do? We need to raise the money quickly and get the money back so we can send that message out as it's been going out. That's just another ministry of the church. It's closed down until we get that equipment. And then let's hope we're a little wiser and not so lazy in the way we take care of things that God gives us.
Amen.
That's another ministry.
Amen.
What can it do? It can lead somebody to Jesus Christ is what it can do.
Amen.
You know, several things come to mind when I think of one mediator. Look at Ezekiel 33:11. If this one is not marked in your Bible, you ought to mark it. It is a verse that teaches a great truth. And it's about God. And understanding God. Ezekiel 33:11. Say unto them. Here's what he tells Ezekiel. Say unto them. As I live, saith the Lord God. Who lives? God lives. The reason why you're alive is because God lives.
Yes. Amen.
As I live, saith the Lord God. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked.
Thank you, Lord.
I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked.
Thank you, Lord.
God wants everybody to be saved.
Thank you, Lord.
He even wants that disgruntled cousin that you've got. He wants that old man that just got a bad spirit. He wants that rebellious daughter. He wants all of them. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked do what? Turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways.
Amen.
Why will ye die, O house of Israel? Why something I want to ask you today? Why would you die? Why would you turn down God? Why would you be haughty and proud and stubborn and selfish and got so much stiff neck in you, hard heart in you, that a God like this, how many times have I read this? He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He wants all men to be saved. Look what he's done throughout the Bible is forgive, forgive,
amen.
Forgive, pardon, forgive.
Amen.
What does he offer? Forgiveness, pardon. And not just that. The ones he forgives and pardons, he brings into his own family as sons and daughters.
Thank you, Lord.
He wants to give you the greatest gift you ever had. He wants to give you a bright outlook for the future. He wants to give you salvation. In all its beauty, in all its greatness. That's what God wants for you. Why? Why? And he asked the question of his own people that he's preaching to back there. Why will you die? Why will you be stubborn? Why will you be so proud? Why will you be so foolish? Humble yourself.
Amen.
Call on me. Ask me to forgive you. He will recognize and honor repentance. Why is it so hard? Why are you so stubborn? Why are you so proud?
Yes.
The pride of our hearts keeps us from coming to God.
Yes, sir.
What a tragedy. You know what he says? Turn ye from your evil ways. Why will you die? Why would you die? I'd ask you that question today. If you happen to be here, and you're a little stubborn, and you're a little proud, and you don't want to humble yourself, you don't want anybody to know that you know that you're a sinner.
Right.
Bless your heart. We're all sinners.
Yes. Amen.
Everybody you read about in this Bible is a sinner, even the ones that it doesn't tell us their sins. Amen. Joseph was not perfect, and we don't have a record of a sin of Joseph. I mean, you talk about one of the guys with white shirts on with no spots, that's Joseph. You want to talk about somebody who every time the rough stuff hit him, he answered the thing right and upright. He's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And yet I know he was a sinner.
Yes, sir.
All of us are sinners. Even after you're saved, bless your hearts, you let the Lord down all the time. You let other people down all the time. You ought to humble yourself. You're too proud. You're too proud. And if you look at here, what you can have if you will trust God, you don't need to be that proud. You need to humble yourself. You need to take that stiff neck and break it. Look, if you will, in Matthew 23:37. Another example. Here's Jesus. And he's talking to the city of Jerusalem. And he cries over. And here's her words. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Ye would not. Some of you could be saved if you would.
Yeah.
What's your problem? You would not. You would not. Some of you could get right with God. Some of you could have your life, could have your marriage turned around. What a blessing. God gave us two things. The church and the marriage. Everything else is extra. So there are two relationships that you depend upon, and it's your sowing and reaping to whether you have a good one or a bad one. What a beautiful thing a wonderful marriage is. What a beautiful thing a church fellowship is. They're two of the most beautiful things, most satisfying things you can find in your life. And God gave them to us. What do we have to do? We have to repent. You have to say, forgive me. If you stand up stiff in your marriage, you're not going to have a good marriage. If you can't say, I'm sorry, forgive me, I didn't mean it, I shouldn't have said it, I shouldn't have done it, my own stupidity, you've got to ask for forgiveness. That's how you keep going. How do brothers keep going? They fight like cats and dogs and then... Okay, bro, I'm sorry. You know, I know brothers who haven't talked to each other in 50 years. That's bad. I know some people that haven't went to God in 50 years. That's bad.
Amen.
God's ready to forgive.
Amen.
He's ready to pardon. And look what he holds his hands out to Jerusalem and said, how often would I have taken you? Well, I want to ask that tonight, this morning. How often has God given you an invitation? And ye would not. Ye would not. Turn to the book of Luke. One of the most frightening verses in the Bible is in Luke chapter 12. Verses 4 and 5. Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body. That's who we fear. We go to doctors to try to keep this body alive. I got 10 specialists. That's my social life, is visiting doctors and clinics. And they're keeping me going, and I'm not sure I like the idea because I got a better place. But I'm like Paul. He's keeping me here for you. Amen. That kill the body, that's what we're worried about. We got laws where we can carry guns. What? To protect our body, to protect our house, to protect our children, to protect our way of life from idiots, from wicked people. He said, be not afraid of them that kill the body. Now he's going to tell you something. You realize what he's doing? He's taking your worst fear. Everybody in here, you want to live? Yeah. There's some people that want to die. So. But most of us want to live.
Amen.
That's why we spend all this money when we get old on doctors, trying to stay alive. Trying to get out of pain. And you know what Jesus said? Don't fear him. That guy that can kill you, don't fear him. Willie Cosby is an old friend of mine. He was a Houston thug, and he was sentenced in Arizona to prison for armed robbery. And he was a thug. He was off the wharves in Houston. He got saved. Some guy had come at him with a gun, and you know what he said? He said, son, do you know that you're threatening me with heaven? You're threatening me with heaven. Well, Jesus said, don't worry about a guy that all he can do is kill you. Well, we're worried about that, aren't we? It makes sense. That's the ultimate loss, right? We love life. We love enjoying breathing, eating, loving, and all sorts of things. We love life. Don't want it taken away. Turn your phone off. He said, I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him with after he hath killed, have power to cast into hell. Yeah, I say unto you, fear him.
Yeah.
There is a heaven, there is a hell.
Amen.
Just as they've been described to you, heaven is absolutely wonderful, all wonderful. Hell is absolutely pitiful, completely pitiful, and both of them are eternal. Just that much doctrine ought to scare the living daylight out of you.
Amen.
I didn't get saved because I want to be a better person. I got saved because I was afraid of hell.
Amen.
I did not want to go to hell. I believed the Bible was right, even though I wasn't living by it and hadn't read very much of it. I didn't want to go to hell. My great reason for repenting and coming to God was I didn't want to go to hell.
Amen.
I didn't have any view of heaven. I didn't know what heaven was going to be like. I didn't want to go to hell. And what Jesus is telling you, quit worrying about people that all they can do to you is something in this life. He said, I'll tell you who to fear. Fear him which has the power to cast into hell. That's who you fear. You better fear God.
Yes, sir.
I have seen, I taught school 20 years, taught teenagers. Some of them pretty tough kids. I was always in inner city San Antonio. They were gang members, and some of them got killed each year, and they went into a lot of things, and they were tough kids. You know something? They lived a life, rough life, dangerous life every day. Some of them fought their way to school and fought their way home. You know who you ought to fear? Not the bully that can beat you up. Not the person that can steal your lunch money. Not the person that can bruise you and hurt you. Not the person that says words about you, damage your image or your reputation. You ought to fear somebody that after you're dead will cast you into hell. scare people with hell. Well, Jesus did. Jesus taught us more about hell than any other prophet in the world. And if Jesus was so mealy-mouthed and so sweet and so speaking in such a quiet voice and so tender, never hurt anybody's feelings, why in the world is it that the people that lived when he was living confused him with Jeremiah, John the Baptist, some of the finest preachers in the world? That's who they thought Jesus was. How do you think he speaks to 4,000 or 5,000 men on a lakeside?
Dear brethren.
He had a voice. He used his voice. Benjamin Franklin was a friend of one of the great evangelists. And he went out and he decided to see how many people he was preaching to. And George Whitefield was preaching to 30,000 people without a microphone. And he many times had a bloody throat when he got through. Fear him which after he is killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I said you fear him. We're not talking about a little bitty party. We're not talking about some little bitty happiness. We're talking about eternity. This is the most important thing in the world in this life. There is nothing more important than what we're talking about right here. A God ready to forgive. A God ready to pardon. Whatever sinner, whatever kind of sinner, no matter how big, no matter how great, no matter how small. And he reaches his hand out and he loves you and he reaches towards you and he sends messenger after messenger.
Amen.
So that you'd be saved.
Yeah.
Why would you die? Why would you refuse that? Why would you stiffen your neck and say, I don't want to do that? God give you the brains to repent of your sins and take Christ as your Lord and Savior. Turn to hymn number 243, excuse me. Hymn number 243. This invitation is open. Christian friend, you ought to get right with God. If you happen to be a lost person in this room, I don't care if you're a member of a church, even baptized or whatever. If you're not saved, make sure you come to Christ and repent. You don't need to fear what people think of you in this room. You need to fear one that can send you to hell when you die. May God help you. May God bless you. The invitation is open. Whatever needs you have, you're welcome to come. 243. Will you come? Grace free. It's deep enough. Room at the cross for you. Will you come? Get your heart right with God. Don't let the day pass without getting right with God. one more verse. Wow, what favor? Father, we ask you to hear the prayers that are prayed in this place. Answer them. Have mercy upon those that repent and call upon you. Bless all of us. Draw us closer to you. May we be taken away from our worldliness in this life to a spirituality that honors and blesses you. May we be forgiving and pardoning as you are forgiving and pardoning.
Amen.
May we handle each other with kid gloves, Lord, with love. Lord, touch hearts and lives. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
That's all right. I like yours.
That's an interesting thing.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to.
I can't even figure out my atomic clock. What are you talking about? I can't mess with something like that.